Just want to introduce now Leona Spellman, a colleague from Clare, who's going to talk about the grant that we've made in the mental health service in Clare. Leona, thank you.
Hello, Leona Spellman. I work as a consultant psychiatrist with the Clare Mental Health Services, specifically the rehab and recovery team. Our experiences are similar to Sean's, I think. We closed down a large psychiatric hospital in 2002, but really the practices and the many institutions really followed the hospital when it closed. We were really pleased to get the funding from Genio because for some time we've been doing recovery-orientated care plans with our clients, and the issue about where they live and who they live with was repeatedly coming up, and we were restricted by, I suppose, the complex paperwork that's required to access local authority housing, the waiting lists, then the private rented sector maybe not necessarily meeting the needs of people who, I suppose, have challenges in terms of finances, budgeting and so on. We started off, with the premise that, home is really it's where we base the rest of our lives out of. And the places that some of our clients were living in were really appalling in terms of the fabric of the buildings and also the lack of choice about who they live with and even the choice of staffing. We started off, again, I think Sean and Marina would have alluded to it, that, I suppose our ideals starting off, had to change and merge with the client's needs. We started off looking at closing two medium support residences, again, because the fabric of the building really was poor. They were owned and run by the HSC, and a lot of staff time was spent on trying to get the maintenance guys to come over or deal with damp or, just the quality of the buildings, really. Then we also had a little bit like, maybe not as lengthy, but the first, a lady, and I'm sure everyone here works in mental health services, aware of people who get stuck in the system, revolving door admissions, and this is a lady who really had a very tough life. I won't go into detail here, but was repeatedly admitted under the Mental Health Act, and every tribunal you say, why is this happening to this woman? And didn't have family support and so on. So we felt that maybe we could somehow incorporate her needs into what we were doing with the project. And the idea was, again, going back to our recovery plans, what do the service users need, and that our system doesn't seem to be meeting those needs all of the time. So they were our aims. Really, we needed to get everyone on board. We were very lucky that our senior manager, Teresa Bulfin, was on board. Our director of nursing, Tony Nelson, was saying, go for it. And we had an assistant director of nursing, Andy Small, who was willing to sort of make it happen. What we did, we were lucky to have a housing association, a local housing association, Folcher Stock, who had purchased a small property. Very nice. I would have lived there myself. And they were going to look after all the maintenance-y kind of stuff. We decided we were going to hire three recovery support workers who would have come from varied backgrounds. Now, in terms of recruitment, we would like to have, going forward, service users involved, but one of our as clinical nurse specialists and the ADON Andy did the recruitment. We recruited three people, and we were looking at the person's obviously experience working with people with mental health difficulties, but also the personal, I suppose, qualities of people in terms of resilience, having worked with challenging things in their careers to date, because there were going to be some ups and downs. The real focus, again, we went back, we used our recovery plans with our clients. I mean, the things that had happened for people before in terms of why things had fallen apart were, again, you all know this, but stress of managing money, budgeting, dealing with, burst pipes and the ESB bill coming in and negotiating with community welfare office, all those kind of things that we kind of take for granted. But they're the things that then tip someone into stress, and then stress causes relapse, and then it's back into hospital, into the chaos of all of that. And also the stress of having to live with other people who, not your choosing, not your friends or your family, and then you're dealing with their mental health issues and so on. And then I suppose, to be fair, to us as professionals and our sometimes narrow view of what people can, how far people can go. It always seemed to me, and I've moved house a lot in my time, moving house is stressful, and the notion of people moving from a hospital to high support, to medium support, to low support when a vacancy comes up, it's very artificial, and that the support should be placed where someone chooses to live. This is what, you know, our basic remit was. So it very much is getting a lot of people on board. We've had a few challenges along the way. It took us till December to actually get things up and running and to start moving. One of the houses we'd identified, the number of things happened to the residents there. And in fact, of all of the medium support houses we had, this was the one that was most like home. I would have lived in that house. The group there, I suppose, had more gelled into kind of maybe a family friend unit. And one of the men got sick, he's terminally ill, and they decided, we're not ready to move home, we don't want to move home. And that was fine with the HSE manager. The other house was awful. It was a damp, dark, dreary building in the suburbs of Ennis, and the clients were ready to get out of there, as were we. And the win-win for us at the HSE is that the building is being converted into a base for a community mental health, the child and adolescent mental health team. It's perfect for offices, but not to live. So very much getting people on board. We had to use an agency. We wanted to go with the local Clare Care. It's the agency for home helps. We wanted to go with them. We met them a few times, and they felt like we've enough on our plate and we've enough challenges. So we said fine. So we just went with an agency we've been using for nursing, and that's been working okay. It's been an efficient use of the resources we have. The benefits. So there are 14 people now benefiting, and again, we've maneuvered things. And again, our premise all the time has been, what's in the recovery plan? What does the service user want? You know, where do they want to be? So very briefly, we've closed down one medium support house, and woohoo, we're delighted. And the child and adolescent mental team, we're delighted. They've got somewhere to work out of now, and it's being done up. We've used one property from a housing association. Then there's some private rented property that clients were struggling with managing rents and budgeting and just the state of the place. The other thing that was a strong focus was leisure. Marina mentioned it in terms of just bowling, but people had gotten into a passion of the day centre, and the day centre was the centre, you know, of their lives during the week. And then the weekends happened, and people just hadn't reached out to look at what they liked, or, you know. So in terms of just having things to do with the weekend, it might be going to the pub to watch a match and have a pint, or just basic leisure stuff that we all engage in, but that makes our lives worth living, really. Also managing time. So the support workers are very much flexible. The other thing that we looked at was where we're restricted as, say, professionals, or that our hours of work are very restricted. And sometimes I think that the 9-to-5, it works very well when you're dealing with management. But, you know, the lady who was in the acute unit, she's now living in her own apartment, but with huge amount of support going in. But she's in her own place, has her own front door, and, you know, it's her own haven, really. But that, you know, she doesn't get up till about 10:30 in the day, and that's her choice. And if a staff member is on from 8 until 4, you know, there's restricted time you can liaise with her. So I suppose we've challenged our professional-led care planning. We no longer do care plans unless the client is actually there and they're the one doing the care plan, their recovery plan. And it is all about self-management and increasing personal autonomy. So people who always saw themselves as, I'm always going to be stuck here with X, Y, and Z living, how am I going to cope, and get quite despondent, that is no longer happening. It shakes up how we operate, how we do our business, and how we communicate with our managers. And, you know, I suppose if I take one thing away from it, is to say, why can't we do this? You know, what's wrong with closing something down and trying something different? Benefits beyond. So the recovery support facilitator is now, I suppose, again, job specs are, I mean, I don't always work within my job spec. You have to kind of merge and change, and, you know, obviously you've got to fulfill your contractual obligations and professional obligations, but sometimes you find yourself doing things that I would never have thought I would have done when I was in college, or even when I was doing my psychiatry training. So it is an identified role in service provision. And it is, I think, one of the criteria has to be about the service user. And I think going forward, the service user should be looking at being involved in the recruitment, because it is about the mix. Just to say that of the three people we hired, we've had one person's had was I don't know about let go, but you know he recognised himself that this wasn't for him, it wasn't his area. He had a background, he had a very 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 good academic background, but he really would be better maybe working with sporting teams or young people. He didn't have the patience maybe, or just the gel wasn't there, and he was happy to go move on. And I suppose we had the flexibility with that because we were working through an agency. The housing association, we had our blips with that. I mean, it was very interesting actually for me, because I'm seen as sort of this young one, okay, who's just come in. I'm not from County Clare, and that she doesn't understand. She's not grateful enough, and there were ex-staff members who it's a very small housing association, and that why is she saying this isn't good enough, and they wanted more people to live in the house. And I said no, that's not what the plan was. And I suppose maybe. Again, I suppose maybe I didn't mind challenging, I suppose, the preconceived ideas about people who've lived in mental health institutions. So we're building these networks now, and I think we're forging positive relationships. And you know, I do think the managers are aware that congregate living, just putting people into congregate settings, is no longer it's not acceptable. I had an interesting interaction with a local politician. We were closing down a high support residence in Kilrush, and John Maloney came down. The local politicians were there. He's a Fine Gaeler and County Clare, and he was walking around what was a hotel. It was a hotel that was purchased by the HSE when Our Ladies was closing down, and people were in a hotel room in a single bed with someone who wasn't their family or their, you know, in an intimate relationship with an ensuite bathroom, and that was seen as being okay to live there for the rest of your life. And I was a bit cross, and I just said, look, you know, you need to imagine that this could be your child, you know, this could be one of your children who has a very serious illness and needs supported accommodation for your child. And it made him think, and I think that's what I come into work, and I think, what would I want for myself, and what would I want for my family member in terms of where they live and what kind of supports they have. So I think that message is getting across, and we are very lucky that we have a supportive senior manager. And it's actually not cost effective either. So just from a money point of view. So just in summary, we went back to basics. We went back to home. We went back to what anyone one of us would want, but then acknowledging that people have support needs, and then breaking it down, looking at, you know, our professional needs assessments and so on, but then what ultimately does a service user want, and then putting the supports in. And it does help to have the support of the management team in what you're doing.